Whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Morning, everyone, and welcome to CBAG Transportation Committee meeting for February 2nd. Monday, it's 10 p.m. And may we have, or 10 a.m., whatever. Who knows? Can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Awakalinthe Band of Kaweah Indian.
Here.
City of Blythe.
Over here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella. City of Desert Hot Springs. City of Indian Wells. City of Indio. City of La Quinta.
Yes.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Spring.
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Martinez Desert Kaweah Indians. Chair, you have a floor.
Thank you. May we ask a representative from La Quinta to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in saluting our flag.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the United States of America. And the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any agenda modifications?
There are none.
Perfect. And did you want to talk about the conflict of interest disclosure?
The conflict of interest disclosure. We do provide information in your agenda packets on conflicts. This is an opportunity for folks to identify whether they may have a conflict and want to abstain or recuse from an item. We encourage you, you see something on the agenda in advance, you can let us know in advance or seek legal opinion from your own legal counsel at your cities and county tribes or from CBAG Council.
Okay, thank you. We have any public comments on any of the agenda items?
Chair, I received them.
Great. Well, let's move to Chair and Executive Director announcements.
I do have a few. One, to remind folks in this meeting room that the microphones are in the ceiling and they are very good. So if you whisper, you may be heard by a broader audience. And we do have cameras in the corners and they are good too. So note that they're sometimes behind you and they might pick up what you're typing away on your phone or iPad. And thank you again to CBWD for allowing us to be here while we are in flux on our meeting space that Palm Desert's going to build for us in the near future.
We can't wait.
Congressional earmarks, certainly good news for the Coachella Valley. One is Representative Calvert has secured $5 million for Indian Canyon Drive in Palm Springs. It's awesome. And Representative Ruiz has secured $250,000 for the extension of CV Link to the Salton Sea. And that was approved by the House, I believe. It's going to be taken up by the Senate on Friday and then go forward to the president's desk. Another quick item is Varner Road. You might remember we've got a number of projects along Varner Road from Desert Hot Springs all the way to Indio. And we've been in design on elements of that project now for the last couple of years. The state of California approached us about 6 months ago and said part of that project, part of Varner Road, is one of the state's worst roads for accidents. And they approached us about highlighting it with the California State Transportation Agency's head, Secretary Toks, as one of their five safety projects statewide. They're going to be in the desert tomorrow highlighting that at Sunline Transit. Thank you, Mona, for hosting that and highlighting the good work that this organization is doing with the support of the state of California.
Did you sign the time?
Yeah, it's in the morning. I think it's 9:30 in the morning, right? Erica, is that right? Yeah, it's 9:30 in the morning, and no supervisor. You couldn't be there, unfortunately.
They switched the times on it like three times.
They did switch the times on us at least three times, I know. And then wrapping up, I know RCTC Chair Gregory is here. RCTC had a workshop on Thursday and Friday Sure seems like a long time ago already, but just a couple of days ago, there are a number of items on that workshop agenda that relate to your meeting today, particularly cash flow. So I don't need to summarize that. It's going to be the last item on our action agenda today. And the last item on RCTC's agenda, if I remember correctly, was related to logistics and warehouse. Just want to remind everybody here, we do have a consultant working on logistics impacts in the Coachella Valley. That consultant will have work coming forward in the next couple of months. You're going to hear more about the impact that we're going to be facing and are already facing with respect to warehouses and logistics in the Coachella Valley. That's the extent of my report, Chair.
Thank you. And one of the things,
a quick question, if I can.
Please.
The report you just mentioned, what was the timeline on that, Tom?
Jonathan, for the logistics study.
Yeah, and I'll defer to Randy for logistics.
April, May timeframe. We expect to be dialing back some preliminary results.
Okay, thank you kindly.
And as some of us know, Southern California Association of Governments is also doing some work on the warehouses, so we can learn from them as well. Warehouses, we know, are important. We must have them, and they also do significant impact on our infrastructure. We have to pay attention to the holistic approach of how we bring those on and how they serve us. And I think we'll have that opportunity to do that through these studies that are coming up. So thank you for that. And I understand our supervisor would like to share some things about air quality, and we'd love to hear that.
I guess on the pavement management report, we'll wait on that and we'll pull the item. I got Dennis here to be able to report some of that information. However, very quickly, obviously, there's quite a bit of you all that have engaged in this issue. And Topher, you know, you're one of the individuals that took the lead on that. I really appreciate that work. So look, the windy season's coming. And I don't want to wait anymore. And I think many of you don't want to wait. Some work has been done, and we've asked AQMD to put something together that indicates what's been done. But we also know that there's a lot more that needs to get done because of the fact that when these roads and when this environment gets very windy, it's pretty bad. So I'm going to ask folks that we engage in some sort of conversation, and I don't need to lead a charge. I don't mind whoever does. I will obviously, as a member of AQMD, play that role as a liaison. But we need to engage EPA and CARB at a much stronger level. AQMD can only do so much as a regulatory agency. They can't necessarily take a lead on this. However, they can play a role in this. And we need to hold those other entities accountable as well. So I'm asking for a call to action so that we can get in front of it to the extent that we can. Because it's only maybe a month away, maybe 2 months away before the next windstorm happens. And obviously, we get them pretty bad. And we don't want the same type of situation that occurred in the past where we had the worst air quality that one day. I don't remember what that day was. It was a festival day. You refer to it quite a bit, Tom, in which we can probably mitigate some of that with low-hanging fruit. So I just want to put that out there, folks, that I'm making that effort known at AQMD in this next meeting, which is going to be this Friday. I'm also talking to the new chairperson, who's going to be Mr. Cacciotti, new leadership, and they seem to be on board. We got to push staff to get there. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Okay, so we can move now to the consent calendar.
Excuse me, Chair. I apologize. For the audio record, can we welcome the City of Indio and City of Indian Wells.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So we'll move to the consent calendar. I have a question on E, and it's just a little something. And I'd like to pull B just for a little bit of a discussion, even though when we look at all these other numbers, 640,000 isn't a lot. but it really is. So I'd like to take a look at that, if we may.
Well, you, Madam Chair.
Well, E is only...
I know, but also like pull it.
Oh, you want to. Okay, great. I have, yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
Misunderstood. Are we pulling it for discussion or pulling it for a later meeting?
No, for discussion.
We're pulling for discussion.
I have a question, but just again, it's a general question. I don't think it needs pulling, but we're approving a truck and the small cost in the overall scheme of things. I appreciate it.
Okay, so this does sound like a discussion, so let's pull it. Okay. And we have B and C and E. Would anyone like to move the balance?
I'll move the balance.
So second that.
Calendar.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And Blythe?
Yes.
Thank you. And everyone here, when I forget to ask for Blythe, because Joey's there and he's just omnipresent to me, please remind me. Please feel free. Okay, so let's move to B. And I see what I'm looking at is to me, it seems like we just put CV Sync in and we're looking at replacement costs. And I went through the staff report and it pretty much explains it well, but how do we find at the rapid acceleration of technology, how do we find what we're buying for backup and what may then be antiquated by the time we use it? I mean, how do we determine what we're doing and how much we're going to put in the warehouse to fix it when it needs a repair?
Jonathan? I can try to answer that question.
Thank you.
And we're still, it's still a learning, developing process. We just completed phase one and we've been maintaining those. And in all the different member agencies, we have, we put in the guts, the controllers that work with CV Sync, but some of the controller cabinets, it's either a shelf mounted or a rack mounted controller. So it depends on the equipment out there of which controller we need to put in there. And we'll have various things that'll happen that your teams have to deal with all the time. A car might hit a cabinet or a signal. We've had that happen 4 times already where we just have to replace it and get it working and then go through the process to get reimbursement if it's caused by an accident or if there's vandalism or a malfunction. This is like a spare tire. You just need to put something in there while you figure out what's wrong. Or if your air conditioner goes out, you've got to get it working. So having that backup, those backup equipment, that's something that CBAG has never stocked. So with phase one now, we're taking over that equipment to have in place. And then we're getting into construction of phase two, going to complete it this spring. So we came up with a list of the equipment that we need for backup so we could meet those needs now. And it might change in the future. We might develop a system where we don't, maybe we need more, maybe we need less, but we're still working through that process. So this will allow us to be able to respond to make sure the equipment, the system is working. And then we'll know better as we go through this on a year-to-year basis of what we need to have, you know, storage or on hand.
Maybe to add to that, the equipment that we put in is equipment your cities and county would be putting in. So the expenses that we're incurring aren't in some ways additional or replacing the cost that the cities and the county would have with this equipment. So it's got to get done. And it's now getting done regionally rather than city by city.
And we did in a somewhat unique fashion get to brag about CV Sync at RCTC.
We did. Indeed we did.
Big brother.
Yeah. Sure. So, yes.
Question?
Please.
First of all, thank you for doing this, only because the experiences we're having that I've seen, it's so difficult on the timing to get replacement parts many times. Just for example, makes citizens crazy, a broken sign that says the street name. It's busted for some sort of accident. We just ordered it 6 months. So, you know, on something small like that. So on this more critical kind of thing. So I appreciate the initiative. I just wanted to thank you for having foresight to do this. But of course, you know, we're relying on you, Tom, and we have supreme confidence that you will manage it judiciously. So there you go.
So this is just part of our ongoing process, and thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Okay. Let's see if we can't get through maybe A, B, and E and vote on those all at once. So B, Mr. Toey, you had...
Sure. Just a kind of a broadband question. How many cars does CVAG... Oh, you know, there's... I'd love some little more context here, right? And is this for the express purpose of CV Sync and the group that I met a couple weeks? I mean, like, can you just provide me a little more?
We own one car, a Tesla, that is used for CV Sync.
We CVAG. We CV Sync.
We CVAG.
Okay.
Own one car for CV Sync, and this would be our second vehicle. And we are considering the purchase of more of a four-wheel vehicle for Coachella Valley Conservation Commission, but that is managed by CVAG.
And so, again, you've got a lot of things happening, people hitting lights and, you know, equipment getting needing replaced and all kinds of craziness, birds that are, so I understand that there's a lot of driving going on.
There is.
Erica has something.
Oh.
We have two with housing first.
Oh, that's right. Thank you to the county for that, right?
The county, yes, the county surplus two vehicles to housing first. One's a truck, one's a car.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you. That's four wheels.
Okay. Is there anything else on that? Or, okay, great. So let's go to E, and you had some issues.
No issues. Just wanted to.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to have a better understanding of the payment management efforts that have taken place, obviously, on behalf of our cities and especially on behalf of unincorporated areas. Dennis is here to provide some background. If you just indulge us for a bit. And Dennis, if you could give us a little bit of background as to what's been done at the county level and funding streams and things of that nature.
Good morning. Dennis Kunin, Director of Transportation, County Riverside. Just going back to this, we are engaging with CVAG, partnering with them on this whole pavement management system, providing data, going back and forth with our team and CVAG. What we're doing internally, going to your points about the unpaved roadway, I think that's where a lot of this focus was on, is fortunately, you know, we're always looking for funding to find and pave those roads. AQMD has stepped up recently. We're actually in the process of taking a MOU to the board, an agreement with for up to $5.57 million for a listing of mobile home park paving jobs that will be, they prioritize it on the core projects and tribal land, and then up to additional $9 million could be available over the next year, depending on how we move forward. So that's moving forward with our unpaved roads or the non-county paved roads. We're actually taking inventory over the last 10 years of how much miles we have paved, dirt roads we have paved. So we're calculating that. We could definitely provide that information to CVAG and your office to see what we have and what type of funding we have used in the past. So...
Is there any information there that you think could be helpful to our cities regarding, besides the data, funding streams for application, for applying? Like, for example, when a city wants to apply for funding, do they engage with the county? Do they engage with CVAG specifically? Are they on their own? How does that work out, Tom or Dennis?
CVAG itself generally doesn't pave unpaved roads.
As part of the grant process.
Grant, with AQMD?
With anything that's available out there. In other words, if
AQMD,
city wants to...
We've used like discretionary money from from previous offices here. Fortunately, gas tax cities know we can't go and pave those dirt roads. We have a grant writer on board that kind of just is skimming, you know, monthly what's available out there, and we'll find something that may have one language that says unpaved road. We'll go and look at it. Fortunately, the slim pickings these days as far as additional money, the biggest pot of money has been through AQMD for this area. But we continue, and we could definitely coordinate with your office at Tom to see if there's a coordination effort that we can share with the cities.
I just want to make sure that people have access. They need someone potentially in their office administratively, they're lacking a grant writer, or they're lacking someone that can gather that data, and we provide that information to them.
And we definitely want to make sure if there's any kind of adjacent roadways that we're looking at or we've been asked, we'll definitely reach out to those cities to coordinate the efforts as we do when we do our maintenance projects.
And especially also the data, any, you know, how many miles, for example, of paved roads have we done within the last year, last 3 years, last 5 years, how much, at what cost, right? Where did that funding stream come from? Those type of efforts, I think, would be helpful to our cities, to CVAG. That way they know and they can bring it up and potentially go back there again. Okay. Thank you.
And if I might add, certainly this item was less about paving unpaved roads and about maintaining the paved roads that we have. And you might remember.
And arterials, focused on arterials, not on you.
Particularly on arterials that call it the CVAG arterial system or the regional arterial system. You might remember much of this started when we were discussing a potential sales tax measure and potential funding coming from it and an opportunity to provide regional funding to maintain arterials. It's a consent calendar item right now because there is no chance we have money to maintain any roads. In fact, you'll hear soon that we probably don't have the money to build the second interchange project out of hundreds of project art number two. That's just a little preview of Jonathan's presentation under cash flow. So with that, you've got three items.
So just had ask on the item.
Please.
It's very interesting. If you haven't looked at it, it is a good overview. I enjoyed looking at it, understanding the restrictions as you said. It does have a number of appendices that aren't in there. It's probably because they were lengthy. Is there some way, is it on the website, or is there some way we can get a link or some type of e-copy of those, the whole thing with the appendices?
And if
some of us transportation people, you know, really want to dig into some of that.
Just to add the highlights of this, this was, the last time we did this was 2011. Essentially like a report card for our streets. They get scanned and we got a 75. According to our grading scale, we got a B for the regional roads in the valley. And
that's actually pretty good, I think.
Actually pretty good. It's about, if you add up the value of the roads, we have a $1.5 billion investment in our regional roads through all the valley-wide. And if we wanted to maintain a B, valley-wide, looking at it a whole, you're looking at a $21, $22 million a year investment, just of, you know, valley-wide investments in the road system to maintain it, the pavement projects. So the appendices are a lot of those different scenarios about how much you had to invest and what, how you could keep that road network at a good score. So we can make that available to
them. And the cost of no maintenance and then going back and fixing it is so much greater. It just, it's it increases so much. Yes.
Just a quick question. I presume you're coordinating this with other cities who are also doing these studies?
So each
so there's not some overlap?
We're making, well, we looked at it. Yes, we are, the short answer. But the cities do this every 3 years. But CVAG doesn't have to. But we did this on our regional roads to make it a resource to all the cities, so they could use that in their planning. We are coordinating.
Yeah, I guess the question is, so for example, we're just having it done. You could use our data, so that saves you cost. I just want to make sure they're not sort of like duplicating the cost for you, and you know, or vice versa.
The system we used was, we just decided to re-scan everything. It's a vehicle that goes and actually uses video to actually scan the pavement, and we can make all those videos available to all the cities.
So you're updating.
To look at.
Okay.
So we're updating. Okay.
But again, theirs is arterials, your city's probably doing all of your
roads. Yes, yeah.
So it would be a little different.
And presumably our work will save each of the cities funding because we've done at least the arterials.
Yes.
So, and as transportation wonks, and I think we all are, we do brag about our PCIs because we're that wonky. But so
that's why I like you so much, Madam Chair. You know your PCIs.
Yes.
It's important. So, but when we look at the executive summary, 1.0 executive summary, and we have that great graph that looks like
There's just a little error. This looks like it was an Excel graph that was in here. Palm Springs and Palm Desert don't have their percentages and mileage in there. And I'm judging that Palm Desert is probably 11% and Palm Springs is probably 10% on that. But if we can just kind of, so we can continue bragging.
We'll correct the report.
Thank you.
We finalize it.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we have A, B, and E, and we can. B, C, and
F. I'm sorry.
F?
I'm sorry.
E.
E, B, C, and
E. Don't confuse me.
I move to approve B, C, consent items B, C, and E.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Second.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And Blythe?
Yeah, okay, a lot of discussion.
Okay. And no opposition. There were no, well, there were items held over. That's just what we did. Okay, so let's go into 5A, and we have a presentation from Sunline Transit Agency.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And committee members, I'm Mona Babalka. I'm the general manager for Sunline Transit Agency. I'm here to talk about an initiative we're calling Sunline Rides Reimagined. And just overall, it's an initiative that involves revisioning our transit system in the Valley. And but before I jump into the details behind that, I just want to share just a little bit about Sunline. So Sunline is your public transit provider for the Coachella Valley. Our service area is very large. It is well over 1,100 square miles. It goes from the Salton Sea, and we provide service as far as Cal State San Bernardino. In San Bernardino, we also serve downtown San Bernardino. Our service area is about the size of the state of Rhode Island. So when you look at the land mass of the state of Rhode Island, that's essentially what we're serving every single day. We move a lot of kids. We carry over 3 million people every year. A lot of them are kids to and from high school. We also serve a large number of seniors and people with disabilities. So there are a lot of people who depend on us each day to make sure that they can meet all of their life needs. We also, just to give you some context, in addition to our service area, we operate and maintain over 500 bus stops. And I know that that's a big issue for a lot of your cities and in the unincorporated areas of Riverside, just making sure that we operate and maintain those things well and they're clean and they're safe. And so we work in partnership with all of your cities to do that every single day. And we appreciate that partnership because it does take a lot of work. And so Sunline Rides Reimagined. So we have been your transit provider for over 49 years. Next year, we celebrate our 50th anniversary. And so as we enter that next half of the century, we want to make sure that we're clear about what all of the citizens of the Valley, what they need. You know, we not only provide service on those big buses that say Sunbus, you see them run around all over the Valley. We also provide what they call complimentary paratransit service. And that is for all of our citizens who do not have the physical or cognitive ability to take the bus. So for example, if they can't walk to a bus stop, if they can't read a bus schedule, if they have difficulty trying to figure out when they should exit the bus, we encourage them to go see a medical provider and get certified to take paratransit. Paratransit is curb to curb. In some cases, we need to do more than that and actually walk to their door and help them get to the bus. And we take them to exactly where they need. So they don't need to walk far. They don't need to read a bus schedule. We just need to work with them to make sure they make that phone call so we can pick them up when they need to go someplace. And so we also provide Sunride service. So this is our version of Uber and Lyft. And this is recognizing the fact that the buses and complementary paratransit doesn't go everywhere. So we try and fill as many of the mobility gaps in the Valley through the bus, through paratransit, through Sunride, and we also provide subsidized taxi service. So as I've been going around talking about this initiative, for example, I've gone out to places like Indio Hills. There's another unincorporated area within the Valley that does not have any transit service because we just don't have the resources. We have a fleet of about 80 buses. Each bus costs about $2 million. So it's very expensive to buy enough buses to go everywhere that we need. In addition to operating, our operating budget is about $50 million every year. We employ about 350 people to provide the service every day. And so in some of these unincorporated areas where they don't have transit, we offer subsidized taxi service. And so we subsidize up to $150 each month. So for every dollar someone puts in, we put in another dollar up to $75. So all of those services combined, that is what we operate every single year. And I will admit also, or I want to note that we also are the taxi regulator for the Valley. So instead of all the cities managing taxis, we do it for you. So that is the universe of things that we do for the Valley. And we try really hard to do it well every single day. And I have a very dedicated staff who put their hearts into making sure that your citizens are served as well as possible every day. And so that brings me to Sunline Rides Reimagined. So I'm here today to share that we are at the beginning of the process. So it's an 18-month process that involves understanding how people are taking transit, what are the strengths and weaknesses in our system, when do they need the bus to show up, what are we not doing well, are they not feeling safe on the buses? You know, we want to understand from our citizens how they feel about the transit system. So we have done a lot of data gathering. We have been doing a lot of data analysis with our consultant. And we are now in the process where we are collecting surveys. And I'm going to, I think there's another slide with a QR. There we go. So we want the community to give us feedback. That is the best way for us to understand what people need and how they feel about the system and what more we need to do. And so the survey right now is, it's open until the end of February. I am going to all of the cities and the unincorporated areas. I think I've gone to almost all of the unincorporated areas and met with their councils. If I'm missing someone, I probably will get them done in the next couple. It's probably like one or two if I haven't done them already. I've presented at the City of Indio. I presented at the City of Coachella. Over the next couple of weeks, I will be presenting at all of the other city councils in the Valley. But we want our citizens to share information. If they scan that QR code, it will take them to an online survey that is in both English and Spanish. And if you go online and do your survey, whoever completes it will be entered into a raffle for $50 and $100 gift cards. We are also doing paper surveys. And so I have boots on the ground. I have staff going to senior centers. We are connecting with schools. We are connecting with our tribal communities. We are doing everything we can to get as many surveys completed as possible. We've already completed well over 1,000. I think we might be like 1,200.
1,100.
About a third of them have come from the city of Palm Springs. They have been very responsive. But we need, I think Indian Wells actually has done a very good job of getting surveys done.
Desert Hot Springs.
Desert Hot Springs has been good. But the rest, we have gotten less than 100 from the rest of the cities. I've been very impressed with my staff. We've actually gotten surveys from the unincorporated areas, which are very tiny, but they are competing with some of the cities, in fact. So I really need the cities to help me understand what your people need. Please encourage your citizens to complete the survey. If you need any help, if there are people you think I need to go and talk to personally, or my staff needs to do a presentation and hold them captive, so to speak, and have them fill out surveys, please let me know. But that is essentially what we're doing. We're trying to understand what our folks need. From there, we will meet with stakeholders. So I want to thank staff in advance for participating with us. We need the technical input from staff as to where we can provide service, where the growth is going to happen, where a bus can make a left and right turn, communities that may not want a big bus, but may want something else. Like, that is the technical information we need. So we'll be holding a stakeholder meeting in March. And from there, we will take all of that information and we're going to come up with service alternatives. then the next round of public engagement will happen. We will go and present all the service alternatives to the community to make sure that we heard them right. And they will give us feedback on what we think are reasonable service alternatives. Once we understand all of that, we take that feedback and we develop maps. Two service scenarios in the form of a map will go back to my board of directors, and I will ask my board to give me feedback on these two service scenarios that reflect how we think we should serve our community. They will give me feedback on those maps. It'll then flow into a final report. We will go back out into the community and share that final report and get more public feedback. Then I'm going to ask the board to take action on that final report that I will then use for the next 5 to 6 years with my staff to inform how we make service changes every year. And we make service changes 3 times a year. And so with that, thank you for the time today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, the Indian Wells and Palm Springs are the only two people that are answering surveys. I think we should just have a direct line between the two with no stops anywhere. Maybe a helicopter service, something like that.
Yeah, that might be an alternative later on down the line. Who knows?
Very quickly, Madam Chair.
Please.
Yeah, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with Mona and her staff. And, you know, Mona has done a great job of keeping up to speed that where things were left off last go around and even taking them further. And so I just want to say thank you, Mona, for the good work you're doing and for going out of your way to try to listen to all the communities as much as possible, especially the unincorporated, far-reaching communities that many times are forgotten along the way, or, and even within our cities, communities within our cities. I think you've done some that most folks didn't forget, take for granted. Aside from that, obviously the labor issues that we have to deal with, that you're part of, that you obviously try to shepherd along, and then now the legislative efforts and advocacy, I mean, the media efforts, there's a lot of stuff going on. But I just wanted to say thank you, and I just wanted to make sure I stated that out loud here in front of our colleagues so that they know that you mean well, you're doing good work, and I'm very happy that you're with us.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you. And I'll pass that on to staff.
Please. Thank you.
It's an impressive crew at Sunline, that's for sure.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? No? Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so we will move to the next steps for the Art and Music Line project. Mr. Bowman, please.
Ma'am. Good morning, board. Good morning, committee. It's been a while. I'm out of practice. To this committee, we've been hard at work on the Arts and Music Line. Let's just get right in it. As a reminder, the Arts and Music Line is a spine that runs down Avenue 48 through the cities of Indio, La Quinta, and Coachella, and some unincorporated areas, as well as some offshoots. And key features of the project include two connections to our transportation transformative corridor, the CV link. So this is really the first community connector out of the CV link master plan that starts expanding CV link and improving active transportation connectivity. It also includes a connection down to the music festival grounds, hence Arts of Music. So not advancing. All right, so here's where we are right now. We're completing the design. We've been undergoing right-of-way acquisition, which is really easements of a permanent and mostly a temporary construction easement nature. And we've been coordinating vigorously with the utilities on making sure that they're prepared to relocate and adjust manholes and water valves and those things along the project. A lot of coordination with the city staff along the way. This committee remembers that we had some concerns by CVWD about using the La Quinta evacuation channel as a means to connect to the CV link and going under two bridges, Jefferson and 111. And we've worked through those issues. We are on our way to having plans reviewed and approved for the EVAC channel by CVWD. This all leads us to Caltrans approval of allocating the money. I've got a slide on money coming up. The ATP funds that CTC already has awarded to CVAG, as well as a new slug of money that we've been awarded. We are going to be seeking the approval to spend that money and bid the project out here as we wrap up 2026. That leads us to awarding the project early next year, construction starting. We expect the construction to take approximately 2 years and have a project that is going to be absolutely phenomenal for this part of the valley. Here's the numbers. Presently, the total cost all in is $88 million and change. That includes all the pre-construction items that you see on the screen, plus the anticipated construction cost and contingency, including the construction management and inspection. Down below at the bottom of the screen, I've already alluded to the ATP funds. That's old news. That's $36.5 million, one of the largest ATP grants of its kind in the state just a few short years ago. Fresh off the presses as of December, SCAG Regional Council approved awarding $20 million in CMAC funding to this project. So you add the numbers and you compare that to the construction and contingency above, that almost covers the total construction cost of the project. And I think we all like spending other people's money. And so we were completely jazzed, and that was a lovely holiday present to CVAG in the region. Just a reminder, some renderings, you've seen these before. I've just reused them. Avenue 48 heading to the La Quinta EVAC channel, heading west or heading to the east. We have a little bit of a rest area there. We've called them access points on CV Link, but rest area may be more appropriate. This is a night and day, to quote the song, you are the one project for this part of the valley. At daytime, it's going to have beautiful pavement markings and clear signage. At night, have some lighting features that are designed by a local artist, Christopher Chachowski. He's been engaged all along the way, just met with him last week. It's going to be a fantastic addition to the valley. It includes some glow-in-the-dark center line along the EVAC channel there to the left, as well as some light poles that not only light up the adjacent area, but also can play curated music at times of the year, times of the times of the day. Here's a rendering of an access point. It's got more of an arts and music theme. We're borrowing the shade structure design that we did on CV Link, but the seating there is unique to arts and music line, and it'll be something fantastic, really, that knits it all together, reinforces that this is a connection to CV Link, but also it's its own project. This is where the project branches off to the south and eventually connects down to the festival grounds at Horth Street. Just looking at Horth Street again, we have to cross the road and then snake our way down Horth Street to connect down to the festival grounds. This is a rendering of along the EVAC channel. We've seen this before. We are staying on the east side of the bank, east side of the channel, and going under Jefferson and Highway 111 bridges. We're sensitive to users' comfort level. And so we have railings, we have some overhead lighting, we have some side lighting that we'll be installing along with the project. The last time I was before the committee, we highlighted that we did have a design challenge. The project, as we applied for it for funding to CTC, we expected to have a route along Dillon Road that would connect to the CV Link in the channel east of the railroad tracks. We're looking at pivoting to follow Avenue 48. There might be less physical challenges, and it might be a route that we're going to take. We're going to be talking to Caltrans now that we've done enough due diligence to make sure that there's no strange things out there in the environment that would prevent us from pursuing this. But we're going to be talking to Caltrans, and that'll be part of the approvals that we're seeking this year. It still gets us to the CV link. And in fact, it gives us an opportunity to enhance how we cross the Dillon and Cabazon. How we cross Dillon and Cabazon intersection, we're looking at potentially a loop that takes us underneath the railroad tracks and heads east on Avenue 48. We think that would enhance the comfort level for our users to get through that intersection and perhaps even enhance the safety of it as well. This is just another aerial shot of what I'm talking about. The reddish orange is the new route that we're looking to connect the Arts and Music line to the CV link. And there's the CV link.
So I'm sorry, real quickly. So you're not considering then that the line go on the actual overpass?
This would, the overpass over the railroad tracks?
Yeah.
Yes, it would be carried on that bridge. We would make minor modifications to the bridge. And then once you get down to the Cabazon intersection, that's where we are looking at this potential loop underneath the bridge.
Because there is no, the train tracks are under the bridge.
Yes.
So I'm not following here what you said.
So we're on street here on Avenue 48 at Dillon. We stay on street on the north side of Dillon, cross over the bridge. Then when you get to this intersection here, we're looking at a side loop that not only can you cross here and head east on Avenue 48, but also provide a secondary way to cross the intersection, which means going here, going down, going in underneath the bridge, staying outside the railroad right-of-way. Between the abutment of the bridge and the railroad right-of-way, there's sufficient space. And then coming back up to grade and crossing the road right here and then heading down Avenue 48.
Okay. I think I'll follow here.
You know, it kind of keeps in line with the thinking that we've had with CV Link, which is avoid vehicle interfaces as much as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to do that. So I have three very wordy recommendations. One is like what we've done for other projects when we get state funding, the state, even though the executive committee has granted our executive director the authority to accept funding, Caltrans likes a fresh resolution, fresh. So that's the first thing is to adopt the resolution enabling Tom to accept and sign the funding agreements for the CMAQ funding. And then number one is pertains to that. Number two is just a catch-all for us to sign the rest of the agreements on the project. We'll have an agreement to sign with CBWD. We also have permits that we'll have to apply for, much like CV Link, just in a smaller scale. But that is our catch-all for us to stay current with all the actions we need to be taking this year. And then three, as we have been all along the way, we're sharing that 25% local cost between the three cities. And so we need to amend the agreements. Can we go back? Need to amend the agreements with the three cities, as well as enter into an agreement with CVWD for the EVAC channel. And then lastly, want to give a shout out to the county. We do need to acquire some property from the county for the project. We need to acquire some easement. And the county has said, well, it's going to cost this much, but we also have funds that we can contribute to the project to offset those costs, to offset the cost of modifying traffic signals. So we're entering into a funding partnership now with the county. We're very grateful for this opportunity. It's a modest amount. It's in the staff report. It's about $250,000. But that is important to this project. Every dollar counts. And so we're happy to be continuing our partnership with the county, because the county already has done some widening of Avenue 48 just within the last 2 years. That was a preamble to the Arts and Music line. So we're very grateful for the county for their continued partnership. Any questions?
Any questions? Comments?
Just very quickly, Madam. I'm sorry, go ahead. Just very quickly, I'm actually, you know, I think for me, what's the most exciting piece of all this is the fact that it is located within Avenue 48, specifically an area that's been neglected for a very long time. And you might have heard me say this before in the past, because it's reality, and it's very, if you look at the history behind it and why that even happened, it's based on a foundation in which folks just wanted to segregate other people. Bottom line is that cover track area is now going to look much nicer with this. Obviously, we did expand Avenue 48, and we put sidewalks, and we put crosswalks. We're looking at putting much more light. We're looking at putting lighting. We did work on the sewer lines. I mean, so that community is finally looking much better than ever before. We still got some work to do in that area, but this is just going to enhance it 100-fold, if you will. And it also is very helpful that Tower Market is there now, and he keeps that place very clean, especially around the area. It's very helpful that Chandi obviously has his business and is expanding his business now with a new, I guess, coffee shop, Starbucks, another one, for those of you like Starbucks, and then CBRM and that relationship with them, and them taking a hold of making sure that the homeless community also have a location to go to, and also provide services and programming. That whole area is getting just cleaned up. The farm labor camp, all that. There's just so much history there. But that's what's, for me, the most exciting is the fact that those folks are finally being seen through this project. And that means a lot to those folks. So I just want to say thank you for all the good work.
Thank you. Are there any other comments?
So I have a question. So in the summary, you guys, what I'm trying to understand is how much money are we going to actually receive?
Can we go back to that funding summary? Thank you. The box is down below. Adding those up, that's $56.5 million of state funding.
Right. So that's, it's just waiting for some kind of a motion to approve.
For today, we would love the motion to approve. Yes, this, and that will keep this happy train going for the project.
Happy trail.
Okay. It
needs to go fast.
We have the three items that are subject to the motion on the for the resolution. And we have a motion, don't we?
Yes.
And a second. And who's the motion? Who's the second?
I'll second. I thought Raymond did.
No. Yep. I'll make the motion. Okay. Do I need to read 1, 2, and 3?
No.
Or if
you no, just that, okay. Yeah. Just
motion to approve.
The recommendation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Joey?
Yes.
Any opposition or abstentions? Okay, great. Approved. Let's now move to C, additional authorities for CB Sync Phase 2. Mr. Hoy.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. This item is to review to grant the executive director some additional authority for spending for the construction contract for phase two. Just to review our CV Sync program. Phase one, talked about a little earlier, this is all complete and our CV Sync team is managing it. Phase two, all of the yellow items, this is what is connected to this agenda item. It's specifically about the contract for phase two context. The Regional Transportation Center actually added to phase two, which is located up in Thousand Palms area. And phase three is a separate contract that we're working in the design phase right now. And phase four is adding in Mirage. And there was, we programmed at the last meeting some STIP funds a few years out for construction of that. So moving on to going back to phase two for the construction project, we originally awarded this back in 2022. The contract amount for this work was 86, I don't say 87 million. put a lot of money. It may have been the largest single contract CBAG may have entered into. It's a lot of money. There was some bid alternates that we were considering at the time, but we didn't include those. And frankly, because it was so much money, we kind of challenged the project team to work within that bid item. We normally ask for 10% contingency. It's pretty standard in any construction project, but we really wanted the team to focus on getting it done, working with what we had. And they did so. They tried to work with that and have made progress. For example, one item would be these CMS boards, these messaging signs. There was a number of them in the contract, and many of the agencies didn't want all of those installed. We had some savings there. So we played with what we could in the contract to make it work. But there has been additional costs that we've been tracking, moving the TMC, as I mentioned, one of them. There's been, obviously, you're out in the field. Once you start digging, there's unforeseen things that pop up. The project started in 2022. It's now 2026. There's been some technology upgrades that we've had to change some software out and do different things with the our TMC network. And then there's field changes. As we've been constructing over the years, there's been some private developments, capital projects that have changed field conditions and had to adjust with those. So now, as we would like to continue and close out the project over the next 6 months, we have about, it's in the staff report, about a $7 million that we're tracking of potential change orders that to complete the project. There's a detailed list attached to the staff report that goes through each one of those. And there's a couple of other items that we would like to consider, one being the connection of our current CV sink phase two, so we could splice in the existing coordination system that Rancho Mirage has on Highway 111. It would be very simple, in a sense, to splice into your network in Rancho Mirage to the fiber, and then we'd be able to see and help coordinate all of those controllers, get Highway 111 all connected and coordinated as one. That's one example. And then also moving forward, there may be some other unexpected things in the next 6 months. So what we've done is we're recommending going back to a 10% contingency on the original contract amount, which is what you see in the staff report, about 8.6 million. Right now we're about 7 million that for sure, 8% of that. So when you consider the kind of general rule of thumb that we use of 10%, we're within that. So the recommendation to the committee is to authorize the executive director to add this contingency amount to our phase two construction contract for the 8.6.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Any questions?
So if we could look at the chart before. So I read all of this. My understanding is you have those two items. You're asking for the contingency to be approved today. But those items will be paid out of the contingencies.
Oh, thank you for bringing this up. The we came back to the committee for these two items that I failed to review with you. We added a bid alternate, Avenue 50, to the contract previous executive committee, and we also added a broadband change in Indio where we're going to share the conduit with the city system. So both of those items have been added already. So we have a $93 million worth of approved executive committee contract. So the additional contingency, we just based it on the original contract amount.
Well, those aren't the nearly $7 million worth of...
What you see on this is what is not the $7 million. The $7 million is in the attachment to the staff. And it goes over those items.
Those have already been funded. You're not asking for funding.
We're not asking for funding here. This has already been funded on this table. Point here was that the contingency is going to be based on the original contract amount. We're not including these additional, what you see here, of about $7 million of additional contracts. We're not adding contingency for those. Did I answer your question or did I confuse it?
It did. It's just, it's not really outlined in here. It makes it look like, as you said, there have been $7 million or about $7 million of change orders have already. I think it looks like it's those two that are listed right there. So I'm here a couple of times. And it says regular change orders is 1 point.
Yeah, the third paragraph talks about these items And then when you get down to the last paragraph on the first page staff report, it mentions the 7 million refers to the attachment that to the staff report. That details, this is from the construction manager, TKE. And as you may recall, TKE, we approved a construction, I mean, an amendment to their contract at a previous meeting last year because they've been managing all this. And so the letter dated January 27th has all those additional items that add up to 7 million attached.
Okay. It sounds like, just as another clarification, that the $7 million is already spent. It's already accounted for.
It's already, we have, some of it is items that the contractors already, you know, they're going to have to do to complete
yeah.
the work. And then some of it is stuff we'd like to do to make it, make the system work as it should.
Question, just, you know, in change orders, as you know, especially with expensive projects now, can be, you know, sticker shock, huge. And so, you know, if you give them whatever you give them, they're going to spend. So do you give them less and let them justify, you know, all those things go into. So my question is, and I know that you do this, but it's good to reaffirm, you know, basically when a change order comes in, someone needs to say, no, I don't believe it. Prove it to me. And I suspect that's your, you know, your owner's rep, one of the contractors that oversees the project, or is it in-house staff with you? Just explain that if you
sure,
could.
Absolutely.
Be helpful.
Yeah, there's a, we have TKE as our construction manager that CVAG has hired to be the construction manager for the project. So that's our interface with the contractor, and they're reviewing all the change orders. We call them potential change orders. To your point, when they come in, that's what they say they need, but we need to evaluate that. To date, we have not, we have only approved change orders within the approval authority of the, which you see on the screen there. But we know there's potential change orders that they've sent us that add up to these numbers that we need to consider now. So we are checking them. We're making sure we have to do an independent third party review of their cost estimate to make sure that the change order amount is reasonable. And so we go through that process. And also to the point you originally made on an $86 million contract, sometimes if you just, the contractor sees 10% contingency, kind of think, oh, it's a, there's a room there that they're willing to spend. So that may have been one of the motivations to keep them working with that original $86 million without a contingency from the start. But it's construction. I've never been involved in a construction project that didn't have a change.
Understood. Just as long as you comfort level that you have the internal review process,
yes.
You know.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking that. You know, and any of these projects at the accelerated rate of cost increase, you know, when they take a little bit of time, it's scary at how much the prices are increased. But thank you for explaining the internal process. Are there any other questions or comments?
Just can stop being city manager.
I thought you were a very valuable member of this committee. It's just how I was having it.
I like it.
okay, so can we have a motion for this? Who is the motion? Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And Joey?
Yes.
Any abstentions or opposition? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay, so now let's go to, yeah, the tough one, 5D, and it's something that our executive director has referenced already. So I guess this is Mr. Hoy again.
So this next item, you've heard about before. We've been talking about this since 2020, back in COVID. We really drilled down and looked at our cash flow. We presented to our committees what we were seeing. All that we projected out, we were going to be in negative fund balance if we continued to be able to, in order to construct projects that we saw coming. And as we, when we did that, the feedback we got from the committees was things could change. COVID now, we know there's a new administration coming in. There may be new funding available. So let's monitor the cash flow. Let's look for federal and state funding. And let's move to as much as we can to get project shovel ready so that there is funding we can proceed for. And that's our approach back in 2020. And there was some funding available, and that was distributed to the different states, California, and we did compete for it. And as Randy mentioned earlier, we were very successful in securing $36 million, largest in the state. We also competed and received $50 million for the Indian Canyon. That was tied for the first place in the state. We also went back and looked at our MOU with RCTC, and reviewed the different our funding agreements, just to look for funds that to ensure equity, that we make sure Coachella Valley was getting what we should on a formula basis. And we identified together these different fundings. So we've identified some surface STBG grant funding, some local partnership money, some congested CMAC money. And all of this was then programmed. The top two were programmed at Monroe Street Interchange, and then the bottom one went to the CVC project I just talked about. And then most recently, just in December, it was announced that another $30 million, City of Indio submit an application to SCAG. CVAG worked very closely with RCTC to work through the application process and the different rubrics of how things are graded. And Monroe Street received $30 million for the interchange, which helps all of us. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And then also, as Randy mentioned, we have $20 million secured for the CMAC funding for that project. So that $50 million is a lot of money, and it did help solve all of our problems. Construction costs are continuing to rise. And as an example of that, I'll pick on Indio again, Monroe. So typically, when we cost share a project based on the formula we're using now to account for state and federal funding or any outside funding, the remaining share is split. Prior to 2008, it was 50-50, but around that time, the policy was changed. So CVAG covers 75% of the remaining cost, and the local agency pays 25%. When you look at where we stood back on Monroe Street in 2020, it was about an $89 million project. And now when you look at it today, it's grown. And this does account for the new $30 million that was just received. But you still have about $87 million in total of local and regional share that we have to come up with. So costs are going up. And it's not only, we see it in Monroe, but when you apply that to all the future projects, you can see the challenge that we have. And as I mentioned, not only as the it doesn't just affect Indio and TVAC, but as you see on other projects we did, Jefferson is one example, but there's a cost share, proportionate share policy that CVAC has with all of the cities. And an example of that is Jefferson Street. There was a trip generation study done when Jefferson Street was constructed, and that local share then, the 25%, was divided based on trips, and all of the agencies in the valley shared in that cost. So as we go forward, we're doing an update to that, to a study. We're doing one for Monroe Street, because we have some numbers in here. If we just applied the Jefferson Street cost sharing to this remaining funding, we see what those cost sharing would be. But we're doing a specific updated study for Monroe, and we'll have that out in another few months. I think in April, we'll have that data. And then if you look at the recently completed, I'm saying seven interchanges, this does include Monroe with all the recent numbers. We had 65% in outside funding. So we had a 35% share of local funding across all of them. And if we look at the next seven interchanges, we have 0.5% outside funding. So it's a significant amount of local funding to tackle all of these future interchanges. And again, if you look at it on average, so this is, if you look at the average cost of the first seven interchanges I just showed you, they were about $58 million in interchange and they have 65% funding. And if you look at how that's grown, the average cost of interchange on the next seven is over $100 million. And we don't have virtually any federal or state funding. So when we applied the, based on our reimbursement, our agreements we have in place for the projects that we already have agreements with all the agencies and budgeted, we can see that in a few years, we're going to be in the negative. So what do we do? What do we do now? We're looking at revenues, looking at expenditures, and when we look at the revenue that we receive, we've updated that and get about $24 million in Measure A. On an annual basis, regional roads, we get about $5 million in TUMF. That varies somewhat. It was $7 million last year, but we're projecting that to go down a little bit. And if we just take the average year of STIP that we receive every 2 years, we got $6 million last time, and we put it, programmed it on the Rancho Mirage project for CV Sync, but we get about an average of $3 million. And then we look at what, and that's not enough. And if we look at the cities, we mentioned this before, back when SB1 was approved, you know, the cities gets gas tax and they get to pay for street maintenance. And even with those virtually doubling, that's still not enough for the cities to even maintain their streets. So CBAC doesn't have the money and the agencies are having challenges. So where do we go from here? And this is where this staff, the recommendation on this staff report is zeroing in on. And that's to look for, have the executive director form a ad hoc committee. And I'm gonna go over some issues that you'll be reviewing, but it's looking for volunteers, some from this committee, look at other committees, finance, executive, and then outside of the committees, we'll look at just the staffing for the different member agencies to make sure everyone's included. We'll be looking at things like taxes, prioritizing projects, cost sharing, look at different fees. We look at, this is some examples of them. Consider the formula, you know, it was 75, 25, where it is now. Do we go back to 50, 50? Do we look at our impact fees compared to the rest of the county? There's a huge difference between a new residential unit if you're developing in Coachella Valley versus Riverside. And do we look at raising the TUMF? Right now, there's a TPPS, our Transportation Project Prioritization Study, is being updated. It'll be updated this year. As part of that, there's a new TUMF Nexus study that goes with it. And then, and with that, with the data that comes out of there, that would also be something that we could be run by the ad hoc committee, just to get some ideas, a sounding board to give us feedback on how we go through that. Outside of that, you know, taxes, we get a half a percent, we get a half a cent sales tax for transportation projects. Is there an opportunity to raise that? Do we look at now, we fund by phases and we have an agreement per phase as we move a project forward. Do we look at, you know, only doing construction phase or only doing the pre-construction phase? That might be something we do. Do we limit spending on a particular project? Or do we look at those big projects that are going to be $800 million and do we just not fund interchanges anymore? And these are some big decisions that we bring, have the ad hoc committee help us, give us some guidance. So the item for you today is to direct the executive director to form a ad hoc committee. And we are looking for some volunteers from this committee, and Tom will be putting together some recommendations and take to executive.
Thank you. And without hesitation, I would like to offer to serve on that ad hoc committee. There are a number of us on this committee who serve on the Budget and Implementation Committee for RCTC. So we're fairly well acquainted with what you're showing us right now. We know gas tax is declining in a big, big way. So we can depend on that less. When we looked, and hopefully you got a chance to look at the TUMF issue. And this is like, you know, it's apropos, it's Groundhog Day. Of course, we're looking at this again. We go over this all the time because we can't, we just don't seem to be able to manage to keep up with the cost of things, but that doesn't diminish our increasing needs in infrastructure. And when we look at the one, and I highlighted it, it's when we looked at TUMF before, in consideration of funding constraints and project feasibility over 15, 25 year timeframe, the executive committee adopted a reduced fee of $2,310 for single family residents. And that was in 2018. We're now at 2,840. And WRCOG is at 15,476. We have all done considerable building. I know in Palm Desert, we have put up thousands of residences in the last few years. So they have all had the benefit of that decreased TUMF rate. But we can't keep doing that. And we really need to look at, and Measure A has, it in the whole of the county, has remained somewhat stable. But the costs have gone skyrocket. And that half cent just isn't going to get us where we need to go. So we're going to have to make some very real decisions here. And I'd like for those who might like to be on a committee of making tough decisions.
I'd like to be part of that committee, Madam Chair. And obviously, points are well taken. And I figure that, well, we have an opportunity, folks, to not become the West End of Riverside County. So we need to do this now. And what I mean by that is all that congestion you feel when you're driving from Orange County, when you're on that side of the county and you're stuck in traffic, you know, it's not that bad here yet, but it can become, right? Unless we get ahead of it, which I think we can, through the efforts of the committee, the NAHAP committee, and obviously CVAG as a whole and all our cities. I think that's what makes us unique in the Coachella Valley. I think we can get somewhere with rail and things of that nature. So anyways, diddle, diddle, diddle. I'd like to be part of the committee, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you.
I would certainly volunteer.
Basically.
I would like to volunteer as well. I think this is, these are some of the most important policy decisions that we're going to have to be making.
Right. And they're not going to be easy.
Future. It's our future, frankly. Sure. I mean, because if we don't have this, then everything stops. Commerce stops. Tourism stops. So that's a scary concept.
How many from this committee?
No more than six. So the recommendation is for me to form the committee. I've got three or four volunteers. If others want to volunteer too, let me know, and I'll go back to the executive committee and make sure that each of the agencies is represented.
Great. Thank
recommendation.
You.
There is a recommendation to be moved.
There is.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Also, we have on the bullets that were proposed options: eliminate projects and jurisdictions that do not collect TUMF or in lieu TUMF. What jurisdictions are those?
The CBAG jurisdictions, several of the tribes do not collect a TUMF or in lieu TUMF. The Agua Caliente does, and thankfully they do. They've provided a lot of TUMF revenue over the years with their major developments, and the other tribes do not. And the other tribes haven't had, particularly the Torres Martinez, a whole lot of development over the years. But for some of the tribes, we do expect a fair amount of development moving forward.
You know, I thought, because I think we all have a vested interest in being part of this ad hoc. I mean, does it have to be an ad hoc? Is there another way so that a larger number of us that want to be involved in this decision-making process can participate?
It doesn't have to be an ad hoc. You could form a Brown Act committee. It makes it a little bit more difficult to schedule, and there's some downsides. This committee, the Transportation Committee, will be up to date, will provide regular updates and maybe even actions to the Transportation Committee that is, of course, has representation from most, if not all, of our agencies.
I'd like to, if I could suggest, I think an ad hoc makes it so much, it can be so much more flexible at getting things done and doing it at the drop of a hat, if need be. I would like to keep it as an ad hoc.
Another advantage, if might I call it that, is I will, with your approval, form the ad hoc. We may even include a city manager or two as well. So we're looking for elected officials. Just know if we have a hole or two in the committee, I'll ask the city managers to fill in. I think it's very useful to have a senior staff or it's leadership from your staff on the committee as well.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the other advantages.
A good thing.
Absolutely.
I'll mine.
Yeah, so, now nominators. Yeah. But I mean, I think that make a very good point there, Tom. There's a continuity when you have senior staff involved. Some of us are subject to the whims of the public. So, and hopefully our city managers and their senior staff are not. As Councilman Reddy said, you know, it's always being a city manager is a good thing.
So for those of you that volunteered, I will check in with all of you. And if you would like your city manager to take your place, you're welcome to do that or even alternate at times.
I would second the recommendation. I know you had a motion.
And the ad hoc committee is reports to the transportation committee.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to allow the executive director to form that ad hoc committee to review finances, cash flow concerns. So we do have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, Joey?
Yes.
Okay. Any opposed or abstaining? None? Then motion carries. Okay, so you see the attached informational items. Are there any public comments on non-agenda items?
I have one.
Yes.
The a hot topic regarding transportation that is loud in my community is the FAA has changed flight patterns over Kalamazoo without notice. And it happened last June. And now the flight patterns go right over La Quinta, Indian Wells, Palm Desert, and Rancho Mirage, which has long had flight pattern involved. So we are being very active in hearing at the Noise Committee of the Palm Springs Airport. They're now keenly aware of the issue with over almost 200 complaints in writing. Now the FAA is getting complaints, and we're now getting feedback from the FAA. And we're just at the beginning of this process. From a little context perspective, it's not unlike what happened in Newport Beach in 2016 when the FAA changed flight patterns to go directly over some of the key cities. So the County of Orange and Newport Beach sued the FAA, and they settled with it 18 months, so that they pushed the flight patterns back out over the ocean where they were originally. So we're in the process of this, but I would encourage all of you within your cities, if you're hearing about this, I mean, it's as loud as an issue as dust, just to give you a sense, in our community. So the idea of encouraging people to write the FAA, encouraging people to write and, you know, file complaints for the Palm Springs Airport is helpful. We are now getting all kinds of attention. So,
okay,
to the extent you need links and things for meetings in cities, I'm happy to provide them.
And I know the City of Palm Desert mentioned this probably 6 months ago or so. They brought it up, and so there has been discussion. And thank you for those. And we'll mention it certainly to our supervisor as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Public comments? Oh. Okay, so. Transportation Committee is April 6th. Executive Committee is February 23rd. And Valentine's Day is February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. This meeting stands adjourned.